and thank you for joining us today for Financially Fit, where you will learn how to build your money muscles by making small changes to get you in better financial shape. I'm Dina Isola, joined by my husband, business partner, and certified financial planner, Tony Isola, and we're looking forward to sharing our insights from our fee-only fiduciary registered investment advisor firm, ATI Investment Consulting, located in Stony Brook. Our mission is to educate and empower you so that you can not only get stronger financially and make better decisions, but also never be taken advantage of. This show is for you, and we really would love to hear what questions and concerns you have so we can make this show most useful for you. Be sure and call us, 631-675-1420, or email us, dina@ATIinvestment.com. And of course, make sure you visit our website, ATIinvestment.com, the blogs and radio tab where you can access replays to Financially Fit. And we're also on Facebook. We're always posting whatever new blogs Tony has written or myself. And make sure you also check out Real Smartica, because that has the heavy education bend to
and,
it.
And also like our page on Facebook, the ATI page, because then you'll be updated more frequently with our material. So we would really appreciate it if you like the show to please go on to Facebook and like our page.
Yes, and Real Smartica has a page as well. So make sure you visit those. That would be give you really good information. So last week, we gave parents of young children an education on saving for college. And this week, we want to focus on parents whose children are 5 years or less away from attending college. It's kind of a dicey time. And probably the pressure is on now to get moving if you haven't already. So we're going to get you started with some heavy lifting.
Here we go. Come on. Push it out.
Parents of children 5 years or so away from attending college, they really have some unique problems, and you need to understand and be aware of what these challenges are. Obviously, you don't have much time left, so if you haven't started a plan, you're playing catch-up, which is difficult. And yet, at the same time, because the goal is 5 years away or so, you cannot let that money grow aggressively. We've already told you when you have a time frame that's 5 years or less than 5 years, you know, the money basically has to be in cash. You're not really growing it through market movement.
Right. It's not your return on capital. It's your return of capital that you're concerned with. Because the last thing you want to see is, you know, the child is 18 or 19 and the market falls 40%, and now 40% of your college funding has disappeared, and it could take several years for that to recover. So you can't do that. So basically what that means is if you haven't started saving at this point, you're going to have to save. You really can't rely on investment returns, so you're going to have to save a lot more, and that's the only way the principal is going to grow.
Yes, and the thing is, you know, like we said, the money can't grow aggressively. So what do you recommend, Tony? What would you tell somebody?
Well, I would say, you know, the safest thing is you need bank products, you know, FDIC insured products. So you can look at CDs, you know, even though the CD rates are low, at least you'll get something. So, you know, a 3 or 4 year CD that would come due when the college costs are coming up. You could also ladder CDs, which means, you know, go out, buy a CD for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years. And then as they come due, you would roll it over into the to the longest dated CD. That's a strategy to possibly increase income. But my main tip would be make sure it's bank insured. So you're not going to lose money in any way, shape, or form. You're not going to make money, but you're also not going to lose it. That's the position that you are in.
There's a tendency, and we've seen this, when people haven't, you know, made good use of their time and started early, that, wow, if I just throw everything in now and get really aggressive, you know, I'll make it big and my problem will go away. And what you're really doing is putting your capital at tremendous risk.
Right.
Because anything that can potentially go up really fast and swiftly can plummet in the same manner. And that's something, you know, investors need to be aware of.
Right. I mean, the market's like an escalator going up and an elevator going down. When the plunges occur, they tend to occur very fast and violently. So that's why you need to protect your money if you need it in less than 5 years.
And while you're doing all this, of course, retirement's looming on the horizon. So again, we mentioned this last week, it's really important that you do not neglect saving for retirement while you're still dealing with this burden of trying to put away for college. So just be cognizant of that. You can always borrow money for college. You cannot borrow money for your retirement. Okay, so what's one good way of easing the burden, aside from putting aside some money, is to improve your chances for financial aid. And that's its own little, universe.
Absolutely. And if you talk about misinformation, that is very, very prevalent in the world of financial aid. Because usually, again, people get their advice from their friends or neighbors who possibly even know less than them. And these mistakes are repeated over and over. You know, many people say, well, you know, I make too much money, so why even fill out the financial aid form? What's the point? You know, I mean, they've done studies on this, and the typical family earning $100,000, which is a pretty decent salary for a family, received about $5,500 in grants and scholarships from the university they attended. So that's just throwing money out the door if you think because you have a decent income you're not going to get aid. So the number one thing you have to do is fill out that financial aid form. Because if you fill it out, you are now eligible for something called a Stafford loan, which is a government loan that it not income-based or credit-based. Anyone can get it. And it doesn't matter how much your income is. And usually the terms and rates could be lower than you would get privately. Number two, if you don't fill out the financial aid form, you're not going to be eligible for any merit aid from the university, which has nothing to do with your income. So we see that all the time. You know, people, well, what did you? No, I didn't fill it out because, you know, I talked to these people and they told me I make too much money. That's ridiculous.
And I know the form is cumbersome and it's probably...
They're making it easier,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I've heard
They're
that.
Making it a lot easier.
So make sure you do that. That's a really, really important tip because we do hear that frequently. When they're filling out these FAFSA forms, there's a chance, too, if you're looking at a private school, that you'll have to fill out another type of form, and that is more involved. So just be aware of the different types of forms that you have to fill out.
Yeah, there's something called the CSS form. So certain more elite private schools require that. The majority just use the federal form, but yes, it is certainly possible, depending on the school that you're applying to, you might have to fill out two different levels of forms.
Okay, the child's junior year of high school is really paramount, not just because the child's grades are coming under scrutiny, but your finances are as well.
Right, that's what they call the base year, and that's going to be changed in the future, but for now, it's from January of your child's
junior year
to January of the senior year. And the government looks at the income that you made during that 1 year period. And that's how the financial aid package is determined. So the idea is to try to do things during that period to reduce your income to make you more eligible for financial aid. And there's a lot of things you can do. They basically say for every $10,000 reduction in income, that increases your aid by about $3,000. So it's something to really focus on again, and especially if you don't have the finances saved for college. So now the aid component becomes much bigger.
And keep in mind, if you have children that are close in age, that may be overlapping one another in their college careers.
Yeah.
That, I know it seems like a burden, but it actually does work in your favor as it comes down to financial aid.
Yeah, they look at it as, you know, basically they'll cut the price, the aid, they'll double your aid because it's looked at as you have doubled the burden.
Right.
So that's something, you know, again, and, you know, when you're filling out the form, people tend to overvalue their assets. You say, well, my house is worth it. That's not helpful. You know, you want to show your income and your assets to be as low as possible. So, for instance, if they're asking you what the value of your home is, you would say to yourself, what would the price be if I had to sell it tomorrow? And that's a lot different than the price would be if you had 6 or 9 months to sell it, and it will benefit you on your chances of getting financial aid.
They are not looking at your retirement account, so that's a good thing to know, because yes, some people do.
Well, on the CSS form, they may have different ways, but yes, on the on general, the federal form, they do not.
Well, we can go on, and we will pick this back up when we come back after the break, and we're going to show you some common mistakes that you can avoid when it comes to paying for college. To make sure you give us a call if you have any questions, 631-675-1420. Email us, Dina, D-I-N-A, at atiinvestment.com. And visit our website, atiinvestment.com, the radio blogs tab, for more helpful information and to listen to replays of Financially Fit.
And like our Facebook page.
And welcome back to Financially Fit. I'm Dina Isola. We're discussing college savings and what to do when college is looming on the not too distant horizon, and perhaps you've had to play catch up, and you also want to make sure that you improve your chances for receiving financial aid. Well, we want to give you some useful tips and also help you sidestep some common mistakes that people make, and that I would call cutting the fat.
You know, you better not do your belt. You might cause a flower lodge.
Okay. When colleges are looking at your, well, when you fill out the FAFSA form, you are providing your financial data. What a lot of people aren't aware of is that they're looking at the cash that you have on hand. So they're not looking at it relative to your debt, unfortunately. So if you're carrying credit card debt, they don't say, wow, you know, there's $100,000 of cash, but there's $80,000 of credit card debt. They look at it as, wow, you have $100,000 to spend on college.
Yes. And again, it's kind of an illogical way to look at it, but that's how the government does it. So, you know, a strategy, a very smart strategy, is if you have credit card debt, high interest rate credit card debt, is always pay it off, but especially when you're applying for financial aid for college, because it'll do two things. Number one, it reduces your assets. So when the college looks at what funds you have available to pay the tuition, that bank account now has just been liquidated to pay your credit card bill. Number two, you've automatically made a lot of money, because now you're basically taking money that was earning 0% and paying off money that you had to pay 18% or more interest on. So you just kind of made 18% on that deal and made yourself more eligible for possible financial aid. So that's a no-brainer. Number one, if you have credit card debt and you have cash in the bank, use that cash to pay off your credit card debt.
Okay, now they're also looking at your income, as we mentioned, during that look-back period from January of your child's junior year in high school up until December. And minimizing your income becomes really important as well.
Yeah, and I mean, there's ways to do it. Let's say, you know, you get a yearly bonus. Now, instead of taking that bonus January 1st of your child's junior year, why not ask your company if they could give it to you that December before that look-back period begins? So now you've made that income, but it'll be recorded as being in the year before, in the sophomore year. So when the college looks at your income during that key base year period, it could be significantly lower. You know, and again, you could also tell the college, maybe there's 1 year where you just received this one-time payment or one-time, you know, cash boost, and explain to them that this is just irregular and that's not going to be happening during the years that your child's in school. But the simplest way to do it is try to shift your income. That's what you're doing. You're not reducing your income. You're shifting it to the prior year or the year after.
If you'd thought about starting up a business, for example, that would actually be a good time to do so, because you're taking capital off the table.
Absolutely. And most businesses, you know, it's very common to lose money the first few years. So if you have an idea for a business that you think will be profitable in the future, you know, to start it during that base year would be a good idea, because now you can write off the loss and continue to reduce your income. And another really good idea would be, if you have the funds available, and let's say in a year or two, your child's going to go to college and they might need a car or a new computer or something like that, spend it, buy those goods now during that junior year, because now again, you're reducing your assets and you're buying something that you're going to need in the future anyway. So kind of pre-buying it is a smart strategy, because it'll help you help your eligibility for possible more financial aid. Again, it's not a smart idea to, you know, just go into your bank account and plan this huge trip to Hawaii and start gambling or whatever, you know, crazy things to reduce your assets and you know, in cash. I mean, that makes no sense. But to do it on things you might do intelligently, for instance, if you need a new roof, you know, maybe now's the time to do it. And even though it kind of sounds, oh, how am I going to do it? You know, I've got to pay for college also. Well, you might end up getting more aid over those 4 years and replacing that money and getting yourself a new roof also. So these are things that most people aren't going to tell you. And they're certainly not going to tell you, you know, in your college guidance counselor. They're not going to tell you these things. They'll help you fill out the forms, but they're not going to tell you how to fill out the forms to gain, you know, gain tips on getting more aid. You know, that's not their job. So this is something you really have to do on your own.
This whole topic really does strike such a hot button with people, and it's because they don't want to disappoint their child. So, you know, if you're still anxious, if you're still nervous about this, we understand. So we know that this kind of stuff can make you sweat.
I wake up in a cold sweat.
Okay, so if the idea of tuition bills, it's still daunting to you, we want to give you some ideas to consider.
Right. There's a lot of things you can do. For instance, you know, you could have a local community college. Many of these community colleges have honors programs in which the classes are small and the education is very good. Now, there's nothing wrong with commuting to your local community college, right, at a fraction of the cost of, say, an expensive private university, doing that for 2 years, and then applying to the private university, possibly, that you were interested to. And now, instead of paying, you know, 4 years worth of tuition, you're paying two. And that doesn't even count the possible merit, you know, aid you might earn from having very high grades at the community college. And in the end, you're going to get your degree from that four-year school. So this is a strategy that most people aren't aware of, but it could save you enormous amounts of money. And more importantly, it could also leave funds left over for graduate school, because it's been determined that, you know, your income boost from graduate school is much greater than the income you're going to get from the four-year university, even though that's very important. But graduate school really, you know, could pay for itself down the road. So having a strategy in which enables you to go to the four-year school at a very affordable price and then still have funds left over to pay for graduate school is also a no-brainer.
Being in New York, we're really very fortunate to have a robust offering of in-state universities, SUNY schools, CUNY schools.
Absolutely.
Stony Brook University is, you know, stone throw from where we are. Has a wonderful reputation. You know, make sure you're exploring that. A lot of parents are looking at out-of-state universities.
Yeah, and especially they'll look
and
at...
And they're just as expensive as going to, you know...
Right, they'll go to an out-of-state public
state
university.
College, right.
And it's not cheap. And again, I think this whole idea of college being a country club is just crazy. Because that's what you're paying for. You're paying $70,000 a year. You're paying for the football team. You know, you're paying for the stadiums they build. You're paying for their professors to write books that aren't teaching your children. You know, you're paying for a gym. You know, you're paying for high-rise dorms. This is what's in the price tag. So you have to say to yourself, when these schools offer these things, how are they really benefiting the child in the end? So that's something to really think about. You know, this whole idea of country club schools has made them enormously expensive. Like a country club is enormously expensive.
That's true. And a lot of children are going away to college that, frankly, may not have been the strongest students to start with. It's kind of become a right. rite of passage to go away to college. Really take a good hard look at whether or not that's a really good fit for
right.
your child.
Maybe vocational training would be much better. And, you know, electricians and plumbers can do very well.
Exactly.
So there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, but I think the key thing is you don't make assumptions about aid. You know, there's a lot of aid available, but it requires some work and it requires some research. But don't make those assumptions that you're not going to get it.
Okay, it's time for your homework.
I've come so far. I'm baby stepping. I'm doing the work. I'm baby stepping. I'm not a slacker.
Okay, we'd like to review what you can do. Before your junior year, we've mentioned look at ways of reducing your income, delaying, you know, your bonuses
right.
and whatnot. So
and,
that
well, something we didn't mention is we just take the money out of your if the child's name. Don't
yes.
have the money in your child's name. Have it in your name because
yes.
that will help increase your chances.
And buy items that you need now using your savings and make sure you consider all your options, state and local colleges, to make this more affordable. And please go to realsmartica.com. There's a resources tab there that has a lot of information about college and financial aid. So I hope that tab's helpful to you. We hope you're sticking to the habit of reading one financial article a day. Be sure and visit atiinvestment.com. It's a great place to start. The resources tab there has the worksheets and calculators and helpful links. And Tony's blogging, busy blogging at maliceforall.com,
yeah.
so make sure you check that out.
And follow us on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, because then you will see exactly when our new blogs hit. And be sure and tune in next week.
Look at them yo-yos. That's the way you do it.